Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, specializing in bathroom projects large and small. Photo galleries at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Serving a life sentence gives a person a great deal of time to think. For Missourian Jessica Hicklin, who spent 26 years at Potosi Correctional Center for a murder she committed as a juvenile, such time led to inspiration, then to planning, and finally to activation. The outcome of that work was Unlocked Labs. It's a program that provides secure software that incarcerated people can use to access educational material. And since Hicklin was released from prison in January 2022, Unlocked Labs has become a tech nonprofit whose services are now available in prisons in 5 states across the country. The St. Louis City Justice Center is the first jail to work with Unlocked Labs. Joining us to talk about that work is Jessica Hicklin, co-founder of Unlocked Labs. Jessica, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here.
Jessica, you and one of your co-founders, Haley Schoaf, were guests on the show almost exactly 3 years ago, and you described then how Unlocked Labs got its start. But to refresh folks' memories, and for those who may be hearing it for the first time, how did Unlocked Labs come to be?
Sure. And geez, 3 years. It seems like 30, but here we are. So the shortest version is I did go to prison at 16 on a life without parole and spent my time sort of wondering why it is that I woke up every day and what I was going to do with my life. Eventually, I came to the fact that education is the best thing I can contribute to the world from that one square mile I was going to live and die in. Over time, I eventually had access to technology and realized that seeing Khan Academy for the first time, that's what we needed. We needed a Khan Academy for prisons to help people learn what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
Taught myself to code without the internet and started trying to build that Khan Academy for prisons.
Was there a particular lesson in Khan Academy that made you feel like, oh, this really could work?
Not so much. It was more a matter of I saw closed classrooms from lack of staff. This is shortly after Missouri decided that they didn't want to fund education in maximum security prisons. And so I looked at people with needs, people I saw and lived with every day, and no access, not because the resources didn't exist or people didn't want to give them, but there was no source that people can go to consistently and have that access. And so it really was technology maybe can fill a gap. And so add to that that I used to be involved in teaching like victim empathy courses and trauma and wellness courses. And so I had that same problem where I was a facilitator and classrooms were closed.
Mm-hmm. And you taught yourself how to code without a computer, right?
I did have computer access. My other co-founder used to get the notes from me to try to figure out how to code on written paper. Yeah,
So
I just didn't have access to the internet or any of the usual resources that coders would have, like Stack Overflow.
Mm-hmm. Now, Unlocked Labs, it started out as a program that did teach folks how to code, and that is still something that you do, these coding classes. But it's turned into a lot more than that. And as we noted, Unlocked Labs is a tech nonprofit. What are the different services that you offer to prisons?
Sure. The fact that you pointed out is important. You know, we teach people to code still in the state of Missouri because it's important that the technology we design is informed by lived experience. So half of the people that work for us are currently or formerly incarcerated people that we've taught.
Mm-hmm.
From that lived experience and from our partnerships with folks like OVP and prison administrators in 5 states, we've learned that the need is not just a platform. The need is strategic partnership, planning for how technology will in fact increase access to services, not just increase debt for a state or a city. So we do strategic consulting. We offer networking. So we'll build networks, secure solutions. We do hardware, laptops, and things like that. We do the platform. We help with content partnership. And then we help connect all that to data so that the data can inform, are we actually saving money? Are we actually making our people safer?
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a full partnership is what we offer.
And those partnerships, what makes them strategic? And what is the range of partnerships you have?
Sure. As you mentioned, we have partnerships in 5 states. So Missouri, New York, Maine, Alaska, and New Hampshire currently. Those partnerships extend to, you know, the governmental side of it, prison administrators, but also to the partners. We eight university systems, several therapeutic providers. And so they range everywhere from a full implementation like we did in Alaska recently, which is the entire technology stack. And now we're helping them bring like University of Fairbanks in Alaska into the prisons, mm-hmm. all the way down to simple consulting. Like we just completed a consulting project for the state of New Hampshire, who has technology and has some education, but they really need to plan ahead to make it sustainable and make it provide the proof points that they need. So it really is individualized based on what the either the provider or the Department of Corrections needs.
Mm-hmm. As TLPR's Olivia Mizell visited the City Justice Center last month, and while she was there, she met Tierra Woods. Woods was using her computer to research positive discipline to care for her four teenage children.
I've learned how to listen to them first, versus, and that I've learned that children, you know, they have opinions too, they have feelings too, and they like to be validated as well as we do.
What are some of the other skills, Jessica, that Unlocked Labs teaches with its software?
Sure. And a small clarifying note there. We look at ourselves as content enablers or building a pathway for all the people who have services that they want to provide. And so I would say we enable skills, fundamental skills like emotional regulation and cognitive behavior therapy. It's so important that folks who are involved in it and what can be a traumatic system have that ability to not only survive, but to actually thrive. Mm-hmm. And then we provide like a base education of like substance abuse and life skills. On top of that, we give access to like adult basic education, high school degrees. On that, we layer vocational training. You know, people can learn trades. And then for those who are involved with our systems longer, they can actually look at real degrees. Like we support WashU and doing education programs in two prisons here, and they've had more than 60 degrees issued to people using our technology inside of the prison.
Mm-hmm. And this has been just in the last few years? That's incredible.
Now you know why I say it seems like 3 is 30, because
right.
I've been home. Well, Unlock Labs was founded when I was still on the inside, mm-hmm. and has existed for about 4 years. And so we've reached more than 10,000 incarcerated folks since then.
Yeah. Are there psychologists or mental health professionals on your team?
Not on our team, but one of the things we're really, really important to us is partnerships. Like mm-hmm. we don't have to do it all. We have to make sure that we enable the people who can. And
right.
So again, using Alaska as an example, we brought telehealth units onto the network we built for them so that those professionals could reach the people who need them.
Mm-hmm. We noted that, you know, St. Louis City Justice Center mm-hmm. is the first jail to bring Unlocked Labs into its facility, to its residents. And I'd like to introduce another voice to this conversation. Jessica, you mentioned OVP. Brett Delaria is the Public Information Officer for the Office of Violence Prevention. Brett, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Brett, the Office of Violence Prevention has collaborated with the City Justice Center and Unlocked Labs on the rollout of this program. And you had mentioned earlier before we stepped into the studio that it was about a year or so in the making. But how is it that the Office of Violence Prevention became involved with this project to begin with?
Absolutely. So, you know, when we think about the Office of Violence Prevention, we're trying to disrupt and break cycles of violence. So a lot of our work does focus on prevention and intervention, but there's a key piece, too, that individuals that do come in contact with the justice system, there's an opportunity to be able to reach them and be able to help them break free from the cycle that they have caught up in violence. So really, when we thought about overall how we're approaching to reduce and decrease violence in the city of St. Louis, there's a huge need to be able to engage the populations that are incarcerated. So it made sense to reach out to the City Justice Center, knowing that we already have reentry services that we offer that are working on home plans, working with individuals to plan what they're going to do once they get out, to really think about how can we approach this from a really strategic standpoint and education-based and data-focused, too. And I think that's what Unlocked Labs really has brought to us, is a plethora of data of the effectiveness of what they did. we're looking for new opportunities to create new opportunities for those residents in the Justice Center. So when we approached the CJC, they were very supportive and interested in partnering as this is a larger approach to break violence cycles.
Mm-hmm. The term enable is something that you were stressing. What about that term also speaks to what the Office of Violence Prevention is doing and its relationship with Unlocked Labs?
Absolutely. So, you know, we talk about that desire to enable individuals, to empower them. And so the work that we do really is people focused. We're looking to engage individuals, both who have been affected by violence, but also may perpetuate violence as well. And I think Unlocked Labs brings a unique perspective that we view the individuals and the residents in the CJC as people. And there's an opportunity to cultivate that person. We understand they've made mistakes, they've made choices that have led to the consequences there are, but that doesn't have to be the end-all, be-all. And I think Jessica is a great example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that partnership with Unlocked Labs really is tapping into that, that we have the ability to really work together to help individuals discover who they are when they're in a place where they have a lot of time to think about a lot of different things. But if we can positively construct to think about who I want to be, and maybe even what I've been through and how I begin to process that. And I think Jessica talked a lot about that with the services that they provide, you know, the ability to begin to deal with the trauma that they've been through and the trauma of being in a incarcerated individual.
Mm-hmm. You're nodding a lot, Jessica.
Yes. I went to this, visited the CJC last week in the lab, and there was a particular case where this really resonated with a resident. I was sharing my story, sharing the difficulty I had with substance abuse. And when I was walking around, somebody stopped me and said, hey, you could really quit. And we had a conversation. And I looked at what they were looking at on the screen, and they were trying to find information on how do you break substance abuse cycles. And they were there for being caught with drugs. And so when you enable people and you give people hope, that's what makes communities safer.
And I think that was a great, you know, I had the opportunity to be there with Jessica as well. I've been there a couple times now to visit with the residents and see it in action. And, you know, when we talk about trying to heal from the trauma, there was a resident there. When we were talking with her, she said, you know, I've had anger issues in the past. And I've tapped into a resource that's taught me how to meditate and take a step back and breathe. And I thought, how empowering. You're in a situation where you're going to have to do a lot of emotional regulation. Now you're learning the tools to do that. But not only are you going to be able to use that while you're incarcerated, you have the ability to go out, and when something happens in the community and maybe upsets you, you have the ability to take that step back. You've learned and gained that tool while you were in a situation that maybe wasn't the most conducive to learning, but you've now have had access and are making a change in how you approach situations.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation about Unlocked Labs, a program that provides incarcerated people, including residents at the St. Louis City Justice Center, with access to educational material. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Jessica Hicklin, co-founder of Unlocked Labs, and Brett Delaria, Public Information Officer for the Office of Violence Prevention. Before the break, we were talking about some of the things that each of you, Jessica and Brett, have seen at the City Justice Center. And we noted that CJC is the first jail for this service, for the services that are offered by Unlocked Labs to be brought to. What made you say yes, Jessica, to specifically that facility?
Sure. I mean, the shortest version is this is home. Yeah, when I left prison after 26 years, the first place I came was this city. And this city accepted me. This city gave me a place to live. They really, truly supported me. And so as we grew out over the five states over the last 3.5 years, it was always a conversation of how do we help our city? You know, there's a reputation we used to have of one of the most dangerous cities in the nation. It doesn't have to be that way. There's people here who care. That's the first part. Mm-hmm. The second part is St. Louis is a city where you can start and grow something. No, going to somewhere like New York or San Francisco or, you know, many other places that people think of as tech entrepreneurial places make it impossible to do what we did. We took an office over at Nebula. We brought 4 people in. We said, how are we going to change this country? St. Louis, that's the spirit of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. As we're talking about what people have experienced, there is what people are learning and what they're going through very actively. City Justice Center residents and staff both speak highly of the Unlocked Labs program. And detainee Emilia De La Cruz, she talked about it's providing welcome relief. And I believe that's the person you described, Brett,
yes,
learning to meditate. And what she had said to our producer, Olivia Mizell, was that being locked up in 4 walls all day long, that getting outside the cell provides an opportunity to also kind of go out to exit the mind in a certain way. And that really helps when they have to go back. Deputy Commissioner of Corrections Tammy Ross has worked with the division now for 23 years, and she said that Unlock Labs simultaneously and constructively supports the facility and its residents.
It helps the division, it helps the actual facility because it gives them time out of the cell. It also gives them, it helps calm them. They look forward to going to this class to pick up a new skill.
Now, Brett, from the feedback that you have gotten from other CJC residents, what have you heard? What have you felt?
Absolutely. I think one of the most powerful things I've heard is we've talked about, Tammy talked about it, I think Jessica's talked about it, and what you've talked about, Elaine, is the ability to break that mindset while you're incarcerated. But this being a catalyst for conversation. They come, they get on the computer, they spend their time researching, doing their courses, getting their skills, but it doesn't end there. Their mindset changes. They're going back saying, oh, what else could I have looked up? What else do I want to know? And so they begin to jot down notes. And I've seen the handwritten notes of need to look up X, Y, and Z when I get back. And not only that, but then they have other residents who are saying, hey, I want to learn how to parent. Can you look up, how to manage conflict resolution with my teenager? And so they're going in there and they're going, yeah, and they look it up and they take their notes down and they're taking that back to other residents. It's really been a catalyst for changing the conversation and changing the mindset. It's giving them something to look forward to because they're being empowered again and the ability to be enabled to be somebody and to get their questions answered. And I think that's been the most powerful thing is seeing the excitement to be able to go into the lab, but to see that continuation of, I'm not thinking about sitting in these 4 walls and being locked in, I'm thinking about what's the next thing I want to research.
Mm-hmm.
If I could add just a little bit to that, the CJC in the not so long past was very, very known, very public for the difficulties it was going through. The fact of the matter is when you are incarcerated in a place like this, you really have 2 options. You could fret over your case. You could fret over all the things that got you, over your trauma. And if there's nothing else, that's what the conversation is about. That's what the environment's about. When you start introducing education and hope and opportunity, as we were just hearing, the conversation shifts. All the time back in the unit is about what I'm going to do when I go home. How am I going to take care of my family? Which means the entire culture of the place itself shifts from one of trauma and punishment to hope and healing.
Mm-hmm. Is that what is being observed also in the prisons in Missouri and in other states? And is that what brings partners to you? Like, you don't need to go looking for people to introduce Unlock Labs to?
Yes, that is really truly what we see. An example of a recent project, when we went into Alaska in January of this year to begin looking around, see what's going on, the worst thing I saw was when I walked into the day room, there was this man just sitting there leaning back with his arms crossed, staring at a TV on the wall. And you can tell, like, day over day, week over week, this is what he does, is stares at this TV, wondering if he has a future or not. on the other side of that, now there are over 100 devices in that prison that are internet connected to education opportunities, and those same people are now busy, productive, thinking about their lives. And so it really does have that shift.
Mm-hmm.
One other example is the first prison that we worked in outside of Missouri was Sing Sing. And I remember going into a classroom, and Sing Sing is sort of historic. When you walk into the education building in the classroom, and we have computers there, it's you forget that you're inside of Sing Sing. And so It really has that cultural shift.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier, Jessica, debt. You know, there are resources that we're talking about. How does Unlock Labs and programs like it affect the resources that are ultimately available to help incarcerated people get to where they need to be while they're behind bars, but more importantly, when they're out?
Sure. Not to be too statistic heavy, but the short version is when most people come home from prison, almost 3 out of 4 of them are unemployed a year afterwards, or incarceration period, whether it's jail or prisons. And so they can come home owing money, having no jobs, consuming public resources, or they can get just enough skills to have employable skills. I'll use myself as an example. The state of Missouri spent over $1 million incarcerating me during the time I was in, and very little on educating me. But because I had this opportunity, but because I had education, when I walked out the door, I was immediately a taxpayer. I was immediately part of the workforce. That first year, a lot of people laughed at me. That first year when I paid taxes, I was excited. I told people, I paid taxes. I paid $10,000 in taxes. I am contributing. And so that really is the case where you can continue to set people up for failure, or you can set them up to be part of our society.
Mm-hmm. Brett, why was it important to bring this to St. Louis, in your view?
So I think it's really important. You know, we knew the reputation, the positive reputation of Unlocked Labs and the impact they were having. And it made sense that if we're going to create opportunity and we're going to invest in the city, invest in violence prevention, we have to invest in the individuals that have been affected by violence, even those maybe who have perpetrated violence as well. This is not only an investment in the individuals who are incarcerated, the residents of the CJC, it's an investment in the city because we're breaking that cycle. If I can empower somebody, as Jessica said, to come out with a skill set that they can better themselves, get employment, be able to turn away from substance abuse, we're interrupting that individual becoming recidivizing and becoming back part of the problem, but being part of the solution now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important if we're really going to take a holistic approach to violence prevention in the city, we have to engage in positive resources to help rehabilitate and really re-educate individuals to give them that opportunity to make change in their life.
Mm-hmm. And in our last minute or so, Jessica, what is it that excites you most about where Unlocked Labs is now? What is it looking to unlock next?
I appreciate the question. The most exciting part about where we are now is that we really are at that phase of all the stakeholders at the table. It's not just Unlocked Labs trying to tell people there should be a different way of approaching. We have everything from the justice system, the correctional officials, to even a view from the victim's side. Like, the only way that justice systems work as if everybody is at the same table. And we're really feeling that that's where we are now.
Mm-hmm. And how big is the table at this point?
There are 27 people that work for me now.
Wow.
We are 27 and growing. We are inbound people, states requesting. We are on a growth cycle. And more importantly than our growth is we're in conversations about how do we do this better.
Mm-hmm. Any clues as to what that first make it better would be?
Shortest version, we believe that if we take a specific number of areas and work deeply with them to do this well, to build that digital infrastructure well, that we'll build the model that will become the model for corrections and justice everywhere.
That's something for people to be paying attention to. Jessica Hicklin is the co-founder of Unlock Labs, and Brett Delaria is the public information officer for the St. Louis Office of Violence Prevention. Thank you to both of you for joining us today.
This episode was produced by Olivia Mizell.
Audio engineering and sound design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.